morning, and thank you for standing by. All participants will have an open line throughout today's duration of today's call. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Stephanie Vaga. You may begin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's Jazz Open Mic session. The topic is Rational Team Concert Visual Studio Client. First off, my name is Stephanie Vagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Rupa Sen. Rupa Sen is the component lead and architect for Rational Team Concert for Visual Studio. Prior to her current role, she worked in the modeling domain as a developer for the Rational Software Architect. We will be having a web conference today, so you can join on by signing on to www.webdialogues.com/join, and the conference ID is 3133836. Again, that is webdialogues.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in on the web conference, please listen in on the phone. Rupa will be sharing her knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce the first speaker, Rupa Sen. Go ahead, Rupa.
Hi, thanks, Stephanie. Hi, everybody. My name is Rupa, and as Stephanie said, I'm the component lead for the RTC client for Visual Studio. And what I'm doing today is to take you through sort of a ride on what we've done on Visual Studio. So just before starting, I would like to know if anybody on the call has used Visual Studio, the RTC client for Visual Studio, or have you tried it out, heard of it, or are you completely uninitiated? Based on that, I can, you know, sort of tailor my call, presentation. So has anybody used this RTC client earlier?
No.
Okay. But you're willing to try, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Right. So what I'm going to do is then I'm going to talk a little bit about why we have the RTC client for Visual Studio to start with. And we've had two major releases this year, the 1.0 for us, 1.0.1.1, and 2.0. And after that, we've had 2-point releases, 2.0.1, and we've got 2.0.2 coming up end of the month. And although these are point releases, we've actually put in a lot of features into these two releases. So I'm going to start with giving you a brief overview of why we went the Visual Studio way at all. Talk about what we did in 2.0, just an overview, and then talk in more detail about what we did in 2.0.1 and 2.0.2. And at any point, please feel free to stop me or comments or whatever. I'll just start my presentation. So I guess the first question, I've spoken about the Visual Studio client in a lot of conferences, and the first question that is there on people's minds is like, you know, why Visual Studio at all? I mean, it's kind of linked to Eclipse all the time, and people keep wondering, you know, how serious we are about supporting Visual Studio, why we even decided to have an RTC client on Visual Studio. So let me kind of emphasize that we are very, very serious about the support for Visual Studio in the Jazz RTC world. I think when we started, marketing had done a survey of the number of developers in the world and who prefers what kind of IDEs. And the number of Visual Studio developers is comparable with the number of Eclipse developers, right? And for Jazz RTC to have any in distributed teams, heterogeneous teams all across the world, to support the two kind of IDEs, so that heterogeneous teams, or even teams working on one IDE versus the other, they don't really have to depend on changing their technology just to get into a team collaboration system, right? So the vision of Jazz is for teams to work together, right? Distributed teams, team collaboration. The vision does not support a specific technology or a specific IDE, which means that our commitment to the developer community is to be supporting different kinds of IDE, at least the most popular ones, different kind of technology. So, for example, if you're a Visual Studio developer or an Eclipse one, you should seamlessly be able to use RTC on top of Jazz and work with your teams all over the world. You should seamlessly be able to manage your source code, manage your defects, do agile planning, get your reports, you name it, right? Being a Visual Studio developer versus you being an Eclipse developer should not really restrict you from using Jazz and RTC. So that was our vision, the vision of heterogeneity, bringing the Jazz vision to the developer world, right, irrespective of their IDE, choice of language, choice of programming environment. And that is why we are just as serious about the Visual Studio RTC client as we are about the Eclipse RTC client. We started a little later than the Eclipse client, 2.5 years in fact, so we'll probably take a little more time to have all the rich features that the Eclipse client has. But, do I say so myself, right now we're pretty good. And the other good thing about working with your client on RTC is that we self-host, right? I mean, our studio was developed using Visual Studio. So me and my team, we are all Visual Studio developers, and RTC for Visual Studio as our team collaboration platform. So we know, the priorities of developers. We have some idea, and that helps us. I guess, prioritize our work and get the most important features that we feel are important to Visual Studio developers done first. So this call and forums like this, the Jazz Forum or work items on Jazz.net, is where you, as Visual Studio users and users of RTC, can log in your priorities that you don't like about the client, things you like about the client, things you would want for us to do first. And, based on the priorities, based on the user inputs, we are going to prioritize our work. So that, I guess, is sort of an introduction to why Visual Studio and what we are planning to do with it. Okay, so this slide I've already gone through. The next slide talks about sort of the, not exactly the architecture, but at least gives you an idea about how we did Visual Studio, how we did the RTC client for Visual Studio. Like you see, it's natively implemented in Visual Studio. Like I mentioned, me and my team are Visual Studio developers, and we wrote this client in C# using WPF on Visual Studio 2008. So, and we use .NET Framework 3.5. It supports, it can be installed on top of 2008 and 2005, and we are also testing the current release on top of Visual Studio 2010, Vera 2. So, when 2010 comes out, we will be there to support that as well. And since it is a native implementation, it extends the IDE in so many ways. It integrates into the Solution Explorer, the options pages, the tool windows, menus, you name it. So we integrate within the, as a source control provider, we, the Jazz RTC source control provider integrates into Visual Studio. We have integrated help. And we do internationalization in 13 different languages. So any questions so far? Am I going too fast? Do you want me to slow down or? Okay. So this is the rationale team concept Visual Studio at a glance. So this sort of, it's sort of a bunch of screenshots on the top level team concept menu. Like you see, the RTC for Visual Studio has a top-level team concept menu right here. And under that menu, we have a bunch of windows, and we integrate our source control, and then we have a search window as well. So what do? We extend Visual Studio with Jazz and RTC capabilities for artifact management. For example, we manage your repository connections, we manage your project areas, we manage your themes, we manage your repository workspaces. So themes are basically your team's workspaces, and then we manage your individual workspaces. We manage the components that you develop. We manage your defects and work items and tasks for you. We manage your builds as well, and we integrate your builds into your source control system, into your work items and so on. It provides a completely integrated view of the world, right? Then, like you see under Jazz Source Control, these are some of the options. We let you check in source code, and we let you ignore the files that you don't want to check in but want to have on your workspace, on your regular workspace. We have file browsing, show history, stuff like that. And then finally, we have the repository search, in which you can search for components, streams, workspaces, snapshots, the changes that you've checked in, namely the change sets and so on. So before I proceed further, do people have like a kind of a basic knowledge about Jazz, or should I be explaining some of these terms?
Okay.
I guess I'll need to assume that we understand Jazz at a pretty high level.
Okay. So, you know, some of the terms here I'm going to explain to you, but before that, let me do something. Let me just escape out of the slide session and show you a real client, right? So did my screen, can you see it? Stephanie, can you see it?
It's just loading.
Okay. So basically what I want to show you guys here is how we have integrated into Visual Studio, how RTC has integrated into Visual Studio, and also give you a brief overview of the different terms that were mentioned in the slide. And I think it's always easier to do that with the real thing rather than with just some screenshots.
Yeah, we can see it now, Rupa.
Okay. So this is, as you can see, Visual Studio 2008. This is actually where I develop. And this is the main theme concept menu right here. And this is what we talked about, theme artifacts. So when I talk about theme artifacts, this is like, it gives you a window to the repository's artifacts, right? So right here on the right-hand side is the theme artifacts view. See how it says that I have two connections, one to localhost and another IBM server. And then it lists on my project areas. So these two here are my project areas. What this means is these are basically the projects that I share with my team, right? So in these projects, I will have my own bugs, and I'll have my own work items. I'll have my repository workspaces, which are my private individual space within the repository where I check in my source code. So that you can see here. See here. These are my repository workspaces. So my repository workspace is basically my personal space in the repository. So when I am when I'm working on a defect or an enhancement and I want to check in but not show it to the rest of the team, then what I do is I check it into the repository workspace. And when I'm ready to show it to the rest of the team, then I flow into what is called a stream. So stream is basically the workspace of my entire team. So these are my repository workspaces. This here is a list of my streams. Hold on, let me just show that. Source control. So these are the list of the streams, and this is basically a test workspace, so you can see a bunch of streams here. But these are basically the streams that the various teams are working on. Once I am done with my changes in the repository workspace, like I said, I will flow them to a particular stream. And data part, you can also see bills here, like you have bills and you have bill definitions. You can see reports. You can see my plan. So, for example, right now here I have my plan open, and I actually opened it using the theme artifact view. This is my plan right here, right? This is the plan that I have put for this particular iteration 1011. Similarly, you can actually take a look at your report. I can actually run a query here and look at my report. Look at my burn up, my burn down, how the defects are looking at the end of an iteration, the relative work for the different members in the team to see who's overloaded, who's not. Things like that, I can look at the report. This is the report node. That's the plans node. Within the plans node, you can see all the plans are sort of listed by iterations. So these are all our iterations in our, we follow an agile process. So these are the different iterations within our agile timeline. Then you have the reports. And after the reports, you have source control, which is the streams. And then finally, you have the work item. Defect management system, right? So it has all the bugs and stories and enhancements and all that I'm working on. And here I've just run a query, and it shows the various work items that are there on my system that have been assigned to me. Okay? So this is what the Team Concept client looks like. And I also wanted to show you how we integrate into Visual Studio using the options page. So here if you see, in source control, you can select Jazz as your source control provider, and that will enable Jazz's source control management on top of Visual Studio. And then inside source control, we have various options that you can click, and you can choose your own compare tools and stuff like that. But we'll come to these things a little bit later on. What I wanted to do was give you a brief overview of how the Visual Studio, RTC for Visual Studio client looks like. So any questions so far? I'll go back to the slides then. Okay, so after this, now I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've done since 2.0, right? So, like I said, since 2.0, our primary goal was to support the developer workspaces. So we had a pretty rich source control management systems integration into JAS. We had a rich work items integration into JAS, so you could create bugs, defects, and you could link it to your source code and so on. And then you could connect to your repositories, and you could connect to your project areas. You could create teams and workspaces. You know, you could fire builds, and you could look at builds to see what all had gone into the builds and so on. You could do all those things. But then from 2.0, we became more serious about becoming as rich a client as we could. So these are the kind of list of things that we've done since 2.0. So for 2.01, the first thing we decided, and this was because of user feedback, was that people needed to stay in touch with the team, right? They needed to be synced with the rest of the team, and that they could do through feeds. So there are different kinds of feeds. We support different kinds of feeds. You can have feeds on your work items. You can have feeds on your builds, on your team events, which tells you things like, it tells you things like what are the changes in the work items you're interested in, what are the if people have actually delivered changes in your team streams. if you're interested in a query, you can have feeds on a query to see if it's changed or not. So different kinds of feeds, just so you stay current with the affairs in your team. So that's one of the major things that we started supporting in 2.01. The next thing that we supported was planning. We realized that one of the reasons that we used to keep going back to the Eclipse client, though we were Visual Studio developers after 2.0, during 2.0, was because we wanted to look at our team. We wanted to look at the plan overview, what planned items we had, how we were doing in terms of the developers' workbench, how we were loaded, how many what we were working on currently, what we would be going to be working on later. We wanted to know all this, and because of that, we thought that planning would be an important feature to include in Visual Studio. So, like I showed you briefly, we can actually do agile planning using Visual Studio now. You can create your new plans. You can add work items to different iterations. For example, I can say that in this particular iteration, I'll be taking care of these six work items, and somebody else in my team will be taking care of those five work items. And the planning actually lets you track where you are with respect to your plan. It lets you track on what you're currently working on, what you already completed. You can even get it to sort of red tag high-risk items for you. You can do a whole bunch of stuff with planning and planning in JAS, and we have brought that entire planning concept into Visual Studio. So you don't need to go to the Eclipse client anymore to look at your plans. So that was another big thing we did in 2.01. After that, we had a lot of source control enhancements that we did. So when we started with RTC, the basic thing was we have a pretty rich compare merge editor, so people would be developing in parallel. And there will be conflicts, and you will be merging those. You would be resolving those conflicts by your compare merge editor, right? But a lot of users came from other source control management backgrounds, and they were not comfortable with this compare merge kind of parallel development. And they wanted for us to be able to file, like when you start working on a file, you just lock it in your team stream so that nobody else can work on that file till you unlock the file. And that is what we started supporting in 2.01. We support file locking. And the other really neat thing we started doing was we saw that in a lot of cases, there was a lot of Visual Studio specific things that developers and other IDs do not face. One of those was integrating pending changes with the error list. So, for example, when you build something, when you build some source code files and there are some errors, you might still go and try to check in those files, right? And so what we have done in Visual Studio is that when you try to check in, when you try to deliver files which have compile errors, we actually flag a warning. We say that, these files have compilation errors, you still want to go and deliver them. And though it sounds kind of trivial, the good thing is that using this, you can actually integrate RTC for Visual Studio with different types of source code analysis tools, static analysis tools, code review tools. And we've actually done an integration with FXCOP. So basically, FXCOP, once you run FXCOP on your source code, it actually dumps the errors that it finds. It dumps them in the error list, And so while delivery now, we actually show you the error message, and we say that such and such thing is wrong with the source code you're about to deliver. You want to still go ahead and with the delivery or not? So that's kind of a Visual Studio specific thing that we've done. And then other specific things, specific to Visual Studio, is another one which is kind of interesting, is that when you add a file to a project, in Visual Studio, not only is the file added, but your project, but under Studio Save All, the project doesn't get saved, and so it doesn't show up in the list of things that you want to check in from your pending changes view. So we actually disallow incomplete check-ins, right? If you've added a file but you've forgotten to save your project, we actually prompt you, saying that, you know, this is you're trying to check in an incomplete change set into RTC. Do you want to go and save your project file? So things like that, which are sort of Visual Studio specific, and we found them early on because we were using this tool, and we were trying to kind of fix our own pain points. So those are things that we did, some of them in 2.0, and the pending changes error list integration was done in 2.0.1. Another thing we did was to provide kind of a richer work items editor, and I'll be going through that in a bit. And then we provided a richer integration UI. So for things like looking at plans or looking at reports, what we do is we essentially bring up an embedded web UI within the Visual Studio shell. And then when you click on different links in the web UI, and I'll show this to you at the end of the discussion if I have time, what we do is we actually, when you click on the link in the web UI, we actually take you to different parts in the native Visual Studio. For example, if you click on a link saying that, you know, show my work items or show my change sets and all that, it will actually take you to a particular screen on Visual Studio. So we've kind of integrated the web UI, embedded the web UI into Visual Studio, and I'll be demoing that in the end. Then that's all for 2.0.1. So beyond 2.0.1, what we did, we've been working pretty hard on a bunch of other things, and that's going to come out at the end of the month. The first thing that we're working on is reports. Like I showed you, now you can actually create new reports, and you can view different types of reports from within Visual Studio itself. Then we have a lot of other SCM enhancements. We saw that people who've come from, say, a clear case background, they wanted different types of flexible load scenarios. So we have supported in 2.0.2, we support different types of flexible load scenarios for users who are migrating from other source control systems. We also support something called non-atomic check-in. So if you have, for example, a flaky network and you're trying to check in a whole bunch of stuff, but you might not want a zero or one scenario, right? You might want to be able to check in incrementally a little bit at a time, and we have allowed that in 2.0.2. And we have some work items enhancements as well. So the Eclipse client has this already. When you've been working on, typically developers work on a few work items a day, right? And the work items they work on, they want to sort of keep it in their own private cache kind of a thing, so that they can be easily accessible. Right, you don't want to go and search for the work items that you're interested in every single time you want to do something with the work item. So for that, we have something called work items history, which lets you see the most recent work items that you worked on. It's an ordered list. And the other thing that we have supported in 2.0.2 is work items drag and drop. So now you can drag and drop your work items into anything that supports HTTP URLs. For example, Word or Same Time or Notes or other chat clients that support HTTP URLs and so on. So these are some of the things that we've worked on. So, you know, I can go in detail through all this, but I would like to know from the audience is whether do you want this, or would you rather I give a bit of a demo or talk to more about Jazz, or, depending on that, I'll just decide on what to do here.
Reva, I think we should definitely proceed with doing a demo.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, the first thing you do, let me start from the very beginning, right? So the first thing you do, your screen is not going to look like this at all. Okay, so let me delete all the repository connections. So this is what your screen, your initial schematic view, I'm going to look at in the beginning, right? It will look like in the beginning. So you have an accept team invitation. And the reason I wanted to show you this is because I want to show how you can attain first-day productivity using Jazz and RTC, right? So when you're a first-time user and you don't know anything about Jazz or RTC, it's kind of hard to start with repository connections and project areas and so on. So what happens is, when a new user joins a team, he or she typically gets an email from whoever has your admin person, and that email contains enough information for you to be able to start working on Jazz. And let me show you how this happens. So, here I've just brought up, Cindy, can you see this? I'm sorry, Stephanie, can you see this? So basically, you get a sort of an invite from your admin. Right? You have, it tells you that there are some lines that you may cut and paste to be able to join a repository and a project area, right? And this is what your invite looks like. Right? So your invite contains all this information. I don't know if you guys are able to see the invite or not. Stephanie, can you see the invite here? It's a notepad file.
Yep, we can see it.
Okay, yeah. So this is exactly the invite that you're going to get when you're a first-time developer joining a new team. And it gives you explicit instructions into how you can actually use this to join a particular team. So you can either click on this link or you can go to the file menu and it has the same accept team invite. And this is going to do its own magic now. So this tells me that my username is Rupa and the project that I'm going to join is called the server project area. And I'm going to join the server team. And the repository that I'm going to work on is the localhost, right? So when you do finish, it asks for my password. So this is something I need to have. It asks for my password. And then you can see it actually created a repository connection. It's actually connected me to my project area, which is the server project area, right? And I can see my repository workspaces. I can see my builds. This is just a demo workspace, so I don't have many builds. For that, I'll actually log you on to the real repository that I work with. But you can pretty much see my builds, my plans, my reports, you know. You can pretty much see everything. My streams, these are the streams that my team's working on and all that. And you can see the work items. And typically what happens is, in a real project, you initially have a bunch of work items that give you explicit instructions on what you need to do to get started on a team, right? It gives you instructions on how you can connect to a project area, how you can create a new stream, how you can load a repository workspace, and so on. So what I did here is that I loaded a bunch of work items. But, you know, if you can see here, 1 through 8, you can see that these are the kinds of instructions that you get. So as a new user, it's extremely helpful, right? You have a bunch of instructions which tells you what exactly you need to do once you've joined the team. So here, assuming that I have two streams, and what I'll first try to do is, I'm going to first try and see if I can create a repository workspace out of these streams. So these streams are where the rest of my team have been checking in their changes. So let me take a quick look at what they've been doing, right? So to take a quick look at what they've been doing, I can actually look at the repository files to see if anything at all has been checked in. So like I expected, there's actually a class library solution, a class library project checked into proxy. And I know that I'm going to have to start working on this class library, right? So this is where I browse the repository files. So now what I'll do is, I'm going to create a new repository workspace, which is my personal working area out of this stream, right? So this is how you do it. You just say new repository workspace, and you say Rupa's proxy stream workspace 2, right? And it's going to tell you which components to load. You can selectively load components. And then it's going to ask you, yes, your repository workspace is created, but where in your file system do you want your repository workspace to load all its files? So I now specify some area in my file system, which we call the sandbox, where I'm going to be loading all my files, right? So once this is done, what I'll have is I'll have my personal repository workspace in the Jazz repository, and I'll also have my files loaded in my file system. See, if you see here, it's actually loaded a file in the file system. It's actually loaded my repository workspace in the file system. That's why the proxy component is showing up. And it's saying that my workspace is actually linked to the stream. Now let me start making some changes to my files, right? So like you'll see, as soon as I make a change to the file, it becomes an unresolved change here, which means an unresolved change is a change that exists on my file system, but I have not checked it in, neither have I shared it with the team, right? So what I can do now is, I can, now that I know that I want to check in this change, I can just check it in. I can say check in all. And once I say check in all, this change from my local file system, it is going to flow into my proxy stream workspace to workspace. Okay? But it is still not visible to the rest of the team because I haven't yet delivered it to the stream, right? So suppose, you know, in a normal case, what I do right now is I would run some unit tests, make sure that my change works, and then what I'll do is, I'll add a comment here to say what kind of changes I've done. I'll associate it with the work item. Say, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe just 8. Find me the appropriate work item. I can also do a string search. I did an ID search here. I can also specify a specific string here. And it's going to find me the matching work items, right? It finds me all the matching work items for my repository. And I associate one, say I associate defined permissions, right? And then once the work item is associated, what I can now do is I can deliver to my Steam stream. Okay. I didn't associate it. Okay, so now I can deliver it to my team stream. And once it be viewable by the other members in the stream. That's how it works. Okay, so far? So apart from that, what are the other things that you can do? You can actually run queries on it. And okay, the other thing I want to point out is as soon as I looked at this work item number 8, it's actually shown up in my work item history. See here? Right? So basically any number of work items that even if I search for a particular work item, it's going to show up in my history, which makes it very easy for me to work with work items in Jazz. Okay? So just like that, I can look at my release plan. I can look at my reports. Let me see if I have some reports here. So I have a small release plan. So if I have planned some work items to be completed in this particular iteration, then I have planned items. Okay, I don't think I have put in some work items for this plan. So you see that for your plan, these are the high-level stories that you're going to be doing in your release plan. So they all show up in your plan. And from here, you can assign these high-level stories to different users. And you can actually have different views of the plan. You can have this kind of a high-level view of the plan. You can have an individualistic view of the plan in which it shows up which developer is, which particular work item, how loaded they are, and stuff like that. It all shows up in your plan. For example, here, as you can see, it shows up the work that Cindy is doing versus the work that Rupa is doing, right? So you can have this sort of view of your plan as well. So which actually makes it very easy, right? When you do your daily stand-up meeting and all that, you know exactly what kind of things you're working on. And you know, like I said, you can have different views of the plan. You can have a developer's view of the plan in which you see your own load. You can see what you're working on currently, what you've completed in a particular iteration. You can have different types of views of the plan. Okay, then what else? Then you can look at reports. Let's see if I have a report loaded here. Yeah, so this is my defect backlog. And you can actually create report. There's a create button here as well. You can actually create report, and it takes you to different types of report templates based on which you can create reports. And then you can run the report right here. Oh, I think I haven't filled up the different parameters of the report. But basically, you can, when you fill up the from and the to and all that, it is going to give you kind of a, like the report that I showed you earlier. It is going to show you the defect backlog of your team or whatever it is that you want to look at, right? The burn up, burn down, and things like that. So here I don't have any work items that were fixed in those particular days, so nothing has come up. But you can actually have really cool looking graphs coming up in this report. So there are some shared reports as well, so just to get. Then we already talked about this, this team. The teams are basically. Basically, your team's chunk in the repository, where everything that is delivered by any member in the team acts as a team, and then you have work items as well. There are different types of work items, right? There is there is enhancements, there's defects, there's stories, which are basically requirements. So, yeah, there are different types of work items altogether. Then for each work item, from the work item, you can actually. So what I checked in right now, checked in and delivered, it was against the work item. So I can actually look at the work item and look at the change sets, what exactly I delivered for work item, what changes I made, okay? And then I can get other members in the team to review, to actually review my work to see, what are changes I delivered, whether the changes are okay or not. I can define process level approvals that say, process level rules that say that unless you get your change sets reviewed by such and such person, you cannot deliver it. You can do things, you can do bunches of cool work items with SCM by linking work items with the change sets and all that. You can do a bunch of cool stuff. You can get other people to review your code. You know exactly who has checked in what. No more blame games, right? You know exactly who has checked in what. You can get it reviewed. You can get it associated with particular builds. So work items and change sets are basically sort of the core of the Jazz developer world. So when you see a particular build, like for example, when we do testing, and when we know that today's build has failed unit tests, but yesterday's build did not, then you know that you look at the change sets that were delivered. You look at what the different people have delivered since yesterday, and those are all attached with the build. And I'll start up another Visual Studio instance in a second, and I'll show you all that. I'll give you a kind of a view into the real stuff that's going on in the developer's world that we live in, the RTC Visual Studio team. But you can look at the builds, you can look at the change sets in the builds, you can look at like a bunch of stuff. So that is sort of at the center of a developer's life, it's a great thing. When you actually run a build, it not only is associated with a bunch of work items, you can also do cool stuff like you can actually recreate the workspace at the time. You can actually recreate how the system looked at the time of the build, because each build creates a snapshot of the system. And that we found to be extremely helpful in fixing defects, right? Suppose a customer has raised a defect and we want to sort of be able to exactly recreate the workspace. So we just have to ask the user for the bill number, and given the bill number, we can recreate the workspace from the snapshot that the bill creates. So for that, what I'll do is I'll give you a view of the actual repository workspace that I connect to when I work. I think this will give you kind of a real flavor of the kind of work we do. Now I'm going to connect to my project areas. So these are the project areas that I work on. And if you look at our build definition, okay, so these are the builds that we have on Visual Studio. And double-clicking on a build definition shows you. So you see here on the center of the screen, these are actually our running builds. So it says that the last build was run at 5:19 p.m. and it's a successful build and stuff like that. And you can actually bring up this build on the web. And you can, you know, then you'll be able to see how it is that you can actually browse the change sets and you can actually create a snapshot of the build. Okay, so this, yeah, this is unfortunate because I have a newer version of Internet Explorer. Gel well with Jazz, I guess. So basically, these are our builds. And then, like I said, we have the reports, we have the source control. These are my repository workspaces. And now let me open up. So this is from here you can see. See, you can see there are 8 downloads of this build, and there's 1 log, and then it shows we have the bunch of unit test cases, which are Microsoft unit tests. And all those unit test cases show up here. You know, whatever the past and stuff like that shows up here, like you see. All these tests are green, right? And then in the downloads page, you can actually get the put in your binaries or your DLLs or whatever you want. The results of your build, you can put in the download. You can write your build script so that it goes to the downloads page, so that it is easy for anybody else to download your build. And this is typically how we put in our weekly builds into Jazz.net, anyhow, right? We just put it in the downloads page. Then the build logs has whatever, you know, if there are errors, it has typically the errors in the build log. And then it shows you what have gone into the build. Like, for example, here you can see it says this particular defect has gone into the build, right? And it says that it was fixed by Prabodh, and this is the defect that went in. And this is what I was talking about. So when you look at a build, you know exactly what defects have been fixed for the build. And since each build creates a repository workspace, what you can do is you can recreate your system at the time of the build from the repository workspace itself, right? Here you can see that you can actually open work items on the build. You can associate work items, right? And then you can create a new stream for the build. So each build, since it internally takes a snapshot of the system, you can create a new stream or repository workspace from the build, and you can exactly reproduce user problems. It shows you the change sets that are associated with the build. It does a whole bunch of stuff, actually. So builds between this interaction, this close interaction between builds, SCM, and work items is, I think, and agile planning, of course, is, I think, the main power of Jazz. That it lets you move seamlessly from your builds to your work items, from your work items to your source components, and, you know, it's sort of, there are no dead ends at all, right? So that is, I think, the neatest thing about Jazz. So here it says that these are like a bunch of changes have gone into the build, what all changes that have gone in and all that. So I think most of these will show up as empty, except for probably install, or maybe, yeah, whatever. So there was a particular change set which would have appeared in the build, right? Once you've gone through all the changes, you know that this is a particular change set which is associated with the build. But this sort of lets you integrate your source control system with your build, with your work items, and that is the neatest thing about this, about Jazz, I would think. So, for example, another thing I can do is, I can actually bring up one of my work items. Will you let me know, or is it okay?
Yeah, I'll let you know. You got a couple more minutes.
Okay. So let me look at, let's look at what we've resolved in Jojo. So it's going to, so it's going to run the query. On Jazz.net, we have, I think, we're running on 100 number of work items, so it's going to probably take a couple of seconds to run this. Through some of the other stuff that we have. For example, repository workspace, the other thing I wanted to show is the feeds thing, right? So here, if you look at this, this is my feeds view. See how it is? It actually shows the work items that I'm interested on. Change synthesis. These are the kind of things it shows me. So it shows me exactly. So if these are interested in, and here, based on these tiny little icons here, you know that this is a work item that I have subscribed to. It is not a work item I have created or I own. I have subscribed to this work item, but I have expressed my interest. So it tells me this is how the work item has changed you know, over the last, whatever, over since I last viewed feeds, basically, right? It tells you all these things, and it lets me, actually, if I want to add a comment to the work item, you know, typically when I read a work item, I would want to add my own 2 cents to it. Then you can edit the comment here from your feeds page. Okay, so similarly, here, see, this is another work item, but this is a work item that I own. Right, so this I can, based on these icons that are displayed here, I can very easily look at the work items I'm interested in, and you know, I can either edit it. When you prep a work item or when you own a work item, you typically get system generated, and it depends on how people want to work, right? I mean, some people are more comfortable getting their getting work items in emails, like work item updates, like if somebody has added a comment or it's been resolved. Or there's a change, some kind of a change in the work item, you prefer getting an email. Some people like me, we prefer looking at our feeds to see how our work items have changed. So it all depends on the kind of person you are. But Jazz tailors to all kinds of users, whether you want an email or whether you want to be told via feed, you know, we'll just do whatever you want us to do. So similarly, you can look at build events for your teams, and it will tell you, you know, what all deals have bills have gone in the last few days or so. Then talks about, these are all the team events. These are not only the work items. It also talks about the things that people deliver, right? So, for example, these are all the things that are going on in my team. Some of them are work items. Some of them are things like somebody has delivered it. So Kit has delivered a change set, right? And I know that from my team events, which says that somebody has delivered a change set to it. Then a new team area was created called Project Move. So anything that anybody is doing in my team will come up in the feed view. And that will keep me in touch with the rest of my team. And that is, I think, a really, really neat thing. You don't really have to subscribe to a bunch of things or look at a bunch of emails to keep track, right? And Jazz Artist, it does it all for you. It just forces you to be on top of things. There's no way you can say that, oh, I missed this, or oh, I didn't know a project area was created, or I didn't know that there was a delivery and all that. Because everything is sort of shoved down your throat, for want of a better word, by using feeds. It just lets you stay on top of your team all the time, right? So now if you look at this work, these are the work items that have been fixed in Visual Studio. So if you want to, you can quickly look at the change set for a particular. It's going to run through, and it's going to show you the change sets that were checked in for the work item. And then from the change sets, you can actually look at the actual code change that went in, right? So if I say open in Change Explorer, it's actually going to show me the code changes that Prabodh had done. So he had maybe he had modified a bunch of properties files or something for the install, right? So for any change set, you can do that for any change. So that, say, for example, let's look at a defect. Yeah, let's look at this one. So typically what happens is, as soon as you complete a change set and you attach it to a work item, anybody can do what I just now did. Anybody can look at the work item, say explore change set, right? And then you can open it in the Change Explorer, and it actually shows you the files that I've changed, right? So this is a really neat thing when you want to review some, when you want to get some code reviewed. So for example, for this particular piece of code, what I did was, I checked it in, I didn't deliver it. I marked my work item, I marked my change set complete. And then I went into my work item, and I put somebody as an approver, right? And that person opened the work item, explored the changes, looked at this code. So if you double click on the code here, it actually brings up the compare editor. So there we have a default compare editor, and I think here I've installed Beyond Compare as my default editor. So like you see, it brings up Beyond Compare as my compare editor, and I can easily see what all changes I've made to the code, right? So whoever is reviewing the code can do the exact same thing, can see if the changes are good or not, and then he can go back to the work item. Let me see this. This is the work item. So he can go back to the work item, and you can actually quickly edit the work item, add your comments, or reach your work item where you can see links to other work items and things like that. You can actually open it up in the on the embedded web UI. So this was the work item, and these are the comments that I've added. And I said that I verified it, so I've closed and fixed it, right? And then what I can do is, I can actually open it in the web UI. And I can actually show you that, you know, somebody actually worked items, somebody reviewed the changes and so on. And you can view comments to work items. It's basically the center for all our design discussions. When we have design documents, we attach them to work items. When we have test cases that have failed, we attach them to work items. You know, you name it. I mean, they do different types of things with work items, right? You know who exactly has approved it, right? And I can, like I said, I can, right now, since we're nearing endgame, what I've done is I have modified the process for my team so that nobody can deliver changes to my team stream without it having a review from at least one peer review and a review from somebody else, like the team lead or something like that. So you can actually tailor your team's process. So see here, see this. I have all these approvals which I've done. So Priya and Rajiv have actually, Priya hasn't yet approved, but Rajiv has approved this code. He has actually reviewed it. I have the team lead approval. And I have defined my process so that you need at least one approval and the team lead approval to deliver it. So what will happen is if somebody tries to deliver changes into your team and you have these rules set, they won't be able to deliver unless they have it reviewed. And these types of rules, especially during endgame or other critical parts of your release, are very important because everybody wants to obey rules, right? But here, whatever process you have for your team is not just a document, right? It's a living, breathing thing. So it doesn't let you forget. It doesn't let you deliver. If you said that I cannot deliver without having two reviews, it won't let you deliver without two reviews. If you say that I want my work items to have detailed comments, it won't let you deliver. It won't let you deliver a change set without having a detailed comment, right? Because there are different types of rules at different points in iteration.
Rupa, at this point, I would like to just do a quick survey question. Tanya, if you want to go ahead with that.
At this time, we're ready to begin the polling session. There will be one question. After the question is asked, please respond by pressing star followed by the appropriate digit on your phone. You will hear a tone upon making your selection. Please respond after the question has been read. Question number one, how useful did you find this open mic call? Star one, very useful. Star 2, somewhat useful. Star 3, not useful. Please respond now. Once again, question number 1. How useful did you find this open mic call? Star 1, very useful. Star 2, somewhat useful. Star 3, not useful. Please respond now. This concludes the polling session of the call.
Thanks, Tanya. Rupa, if you just wanted to question?
Sure, yeah. So I guess in conclusion, what I want to say is that we already have Tutor 01 up on jazz.net for you to download. We have various release candidates. I think RC1 is already up on jazz.net for 2002, where you will see all the features that I've talked about today. If you want to download it and play around with it, I think you get probably a 3-month license for free or something like that. So basically, you can download and play around with it. The second thing I wanted to say is that we are very, very serious about Visual Studio. And if you're a Visual Studio developer and you don't have your particular favorite feature in RTC yet, please log our work item, post it on the forum, and we'll take care of it. And I guess. Once more and more users use it, that I think is the best thing that can happen to us. If more users use it and give us feedback, then we can improve our tool to become as good as any team collaboration tool can be. I think that's what I had. And if you want to, just log into the forums, the work items, and good articles on Visual Studio on the forum as well. There's some really cool videos which talk about heterogeneous development where you have a mixed team of Eclipse and Visual Studio developers. Another cool video talks about the various 2.0 features of Visual Studio developers. There are some articles and some blogs that tell you things, how to start on component-based development on Visual Studio and things like that. Helps you map between the Jazz RTC world and your Visual Studio world. I guess that's about it. So there's a wealth of information on jazz.net. If you haven't used it, just go ahead. We have a pretty good help as well on Visual Studio. You can feel free to use as well. And finally, there's always the forums and the work items. Thanks for listening to me. I hope you enjoyed the session.
This concludes the session today. I just want to thank you, Rupa, for coming to speak. And thank you, everyone, for participating. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Rupa.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.